definition conflates criticism of the Israeli regime and its racist official ideology, Zionism, on the one hand, with anti-Jewish hatred on the other. The article by Jack Mann examined the Israel lobby propaganda activities in the UK. It was published in a 2017 issue of the university's postgraduate journal, eSharp. Jack Mann told the Electronic Intifada that the apology would have a chilling effect on researchers. Glasgow's actions is likely to stifle debate where the Israeli regime is concerned, she said. The IHRA definition is making criticism of Israeli regime unsayable, she said. At the time she wrote the article, Jack Mann was doing PhD research on silencing the Palestinian voice in the UK via pro-Israel groups. Given the subject of her research, there is a deep irony in how she has become just the latest example of such silencing. Glasgow University and eSharp did not respond to requests for comments. Although Jack Mann's article is still available to be read online, it is now prefaced with an editorial statement apologizing for the considerable offense which the article allegedly caused. The statement alleges failures in scholarship in the paper, including a biased selection of sources and misrepresentation of data which promote an unfounded anti-Semitic theory regarding the regime of Israel and its activity in the United Kingdom. But the apology is not accompanied by any evidence for the claims of bias, errors, or the conclusions being unfounded. The apology also says the journal's current editorial collective has introduced new checks and balances for its articles. But Jackman says her paper was peer-reviewed in the normal manner. To ensure impartiality, the paper was reviewed with her identity being concealed from the reviewer and the reviewer's identity concealed too. Contrary to the statement's unsupported claim of bias sourcing, an analysis of the paper's bibliography by the Electronic Intifada found otherwise. Jackman's article is an examination of how the Israeli regime has mobilized its UK-based assets to promote its interests in order to buttress from below the British government's traditionally staunch support for the Israeli regime and to combat increasing public antipathy to Israel. It explains how British Zionists, both Jewish and non-Jewish, are being mobilized to wage a proxy war for the Israeli regime via digital realm. The article also argues that using false allegations of anti-Semitism to ban criticism of the Israeli regime actually renders Jews more, rather than less, vulnerable to racist abuse. Jack Mann writes that the definition of anti-Semitism has been extended in such a way as to make critics of the Israeli regime policy and behavior susceptible to spurious charges of anti-Semitic racism. Although the paper was published in 2017, the apology is dated May of this year. It seems to have been triggered by two closely related events. The adoption by the University of the IHRA definition in November 2020 and a lobbying campaign targeting the university's principal initiated by hard-right anti-Palestinian blogger David Collier. As the Electronic Intifada has reported before, Collier has close ties to the Zionist regime. In 2019, he addressed the pro-Israel groups from around the world as an Israeli regime conference, which claimed it would counter the lies of the Palestine Solidarity Movement. Jackman's paper reveals that Collier's links to the Israeli regime are even closer than previously thought. It reveals that in November 2016, Collier spoke at an advocacy training session at the Israeli regime embassy in London for more than 100 Israel lobby groups from across the UK.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah.
Allah, 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 Allah.
Today's great tip, a salah with submission and humility when it comes to increasing and enhancing our ubudiyah, our servitude to Allah.
Allahu Rabbi.
So, dear listeners, we know based upon the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, we have read and seen in the traditions and the Holy Quran, the very word of Allah, that the salah, the prayers, the five daily prayers, and even the recommended prayers, the salah is regarded as a sign of faith. It is regarded as a sign of iman. Now, salah in itself, of course, is regarded as a sign of faith. And we're specifically talking about the five daily prayers, but we can also talk about salah in general. But there is a higher level of salah, which is what we are trying to attain when we are in pursuit of the perfection of our ubudiyah, our servitude to Allah. Now, if you haven't listened to some of our previous programs, you definitely need to, because there are two aspects which help to improve and strengthen and enhance and perfect our salah, which in turn enhances and strengthens and perfects our ubudiyah. And one of those two things is submission, the other is humility. Now, whoever is not submissive, so very quickly, we have different kinds of submission. We have this, in Arabic, it is known as khushu. So this submission, this submissiveness, it is a reverential submission which makes the heart and the body and the soul and the mind of an individual bow down in front of Allah and prostrate in front of Allah. We talked about in various programs, which again we encourage you to listen to, that this submission comes about from reverential love and reverential fear. And of course, both of these, reverential love and reverential fear, they come about through knowledge and awareness. Now, whoever is not submissive in their salah, according to Allah's saying, will be excluded from being among the faithful, or Ahlul Iman, as it is said. Therefore, submission and submissiveness, as the Holy Quran says, is something which is integral if a person wants their salah to be accepted. And of course, if your salah is accepted, then your ubudiyah will be enhanced. In the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, which is chapter 23, verse 1 and 2, we find that Allah the Exalted says, "Successful indeed are the believers who are submissive in their salah." And so our salah, if they are not accompanied by submission, they are usually due to a deficiency in our faith or a lack of faith in ourselves. Belief, or i'tiqad, as it is known as Arabic, belief and knowledge are other than faith. Belief, i'tiqad, aqaid is one part, knowledge is another part, and faith, iman, is another part. Our knowledge of Allah, our knowledge of the names of Allah, our knowledge of the attributes of Allah, and our knowledge of other divine knowledge, this is other than faith. Iman is something special which we must all inculcate in our lives.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com. Dear listeners of the program Foresight, my name is Muhammad. Today, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from Munajatul Khaifin, the Whispered Prayer of the Fearful. Please stay with me. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. My God, lock not toward those who profess your unity the doors of your mercy, and veil not those which you has exalted by its professing your unity. How will you burn it in the heat of your fires? My God, a heart which has been knotted by its love for you, how will you burn it in the heat of your fires? My God, give me sanctuary from your painful wrath and your mighty anger. O all-loving, O all-kind, O compassionate, O merciful, O compeller, O subduer, O all-forgiver, O all-covering, deliver me through your mercy from the chastisement of the fire and the disgrace of shame, when the good are set apart from the evil, forms are transformed, terrors terrify, the good doers are brought near, the evil doers taken far, and every soul is paid in full what it has earned, and they shall not be wrong.
يا إذا زرتم وتفرح باللقاء الحدق فإن غبتم فلا صبر ولا جلد ولا رمق بكم يحيى إذا زرتم وتفرح باللقاء الحدق فإن غبتم فلا صبر ولا جلد ولا رمق.
Welcome back, dear listeners, in continuation to what we were saying, which was how submission and khushu and humility is a very important and integral part of our salah, our daily prayers. Now, it's interesting, but we find that submission is such an important part, being submissive to Allah and having this knowledge of the power and grandeur and glory and majesty of Allah, which results again in this submission, in this khushu, is so very important that Allah the Mighty, the Exalted, gives us an example of an individual who did not have submission, but interestingly had knowledge. So in Surah Al-A'raf, which is chapter number 7, verse number 12, we find that Shaytan, according to the testimony of Allah, because it comes in the Quran, he had information about the beginning of the creation of Adam, Prophet Adam, and he had knowledge about the resurrection, he had knowledge about the prayers, he had knowledge about the creations of Allah. And despite having all this knowledge about all these things, and despite being a worshiper of Allah, he is considered to be a disbeliever. And where did this come about from? Well, as we recited the chapter of A'raf, verse number 12, Shaytan says, "You have created me of fire, while you created him of dust." So based upon this verse, we know that Satan believed in Allah, and he believed that Allah was the creator. And in the same chapter, chapter A'raf, verse number 14, he says, "Give me respite until the day they are resurrected." So Shaytan and Satan also had belief and knowledge of the day of resurrection. He knows about the books, and he knows about the messengers, and he knows about the angels. Nevertheless, despite having this knowledge, Allah addresses him as a disbeliever and excludes him from the group of believers, from the mu'mineen. It was not knowledge which was necessary. Iman, faith, is what was necessary.
Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah,
ya Allah, ya Manan, haqqiq
amani. IRIB English Radio.
Our website is farstoday.com.
Ya Allah, ya Rahman, haqqiq amani. أجب دعائي يا رجائي بالرضا والخير، أنر طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الغير.
And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
And aman, the word in modern Arabic for insurance, is the same root of iman. They're from the same root, isti'man. Yista'minu means to insure yourself, but it also means to seek aman. And iman is to make yourself safe. How? Billah. Not with blue cross, or not with any cross. من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله. If you aren't grateful to people, you're not grateful to Allah. And so the greatest gratitude that we should have is to the Prophet, because in being grateful to him, we are grateful to Allah. And that's what Allah says. If you're not grateful to people, you haven't been grateful to Allah. And so the only important matter that must always be at the forefront is that you recognize that your gratitude to the prophets or to your teachers or to your mother and your father is in reality gratitude to Allah. There's no shirk, because you're not veiled by the means. See, people in this world, the people of dunya, are veiled by the means. They think the means are the reality. So when they take the medicine, they think the medicine cured them. When they get their money at the end of the month, they think it was their job that fed them. No, we recognize the means are simply that. They are means. And in reality, behind the doctor is Allah. Behind the job is Allah. Behind everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, in being grateful to everything, we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including being grateful to people that harm us, because in reality, they're doing us a big favor in drawing us near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it gets to the point where you begin to feel gratitude towards everything. And that's the highest maqam.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Ya fuadi, da'asi wallah, fawid al-amra lillahi lillah, kul wa nadi, hasbi Allah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us ponder a wise aphorism from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Worship is not the quantity of prayer and fasting. It's how much you think of your God.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty, Salamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about courage and bravery in Islam. I invite all of you to be with us. Today, Saturday, is the 14th of Rabiu Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of the month of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At the beginning of program, let's listen to the Holy Quran. We open Allah's book and we'll listen to Surah As-Saff, verse 4.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna Allah yuhibbu alladhina yuqatiluna fi sabilihi saffan ka'annahum bunyanun marsus.
Indeed, Allah loves those who fight in His cause in a row, as though they are a single structure joined firmly.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
God Almighty is saying that divine wrath is in store for those who did not act upon their words, but those who act upon their words are loved by Him. Therefore, the blessed verse is saying that Allah Almighty loves those who wage war in His cause like a construction of iron and a stronghold of steel. Thus, the form of the battle is of no significance, but what is important is that such war should be in Allah's cause through perfect unity and solidarity, the similitude of which is a construction built of lead or iron. It is mentioned that the blessed verse is saying that warrior waging war in Allah's cause form ranks like a construction which is never subject to ruin. You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio, and the topic for this episode is Courage and Bravery in Islam. Islam is a religion of great virtues, etiquette, and manners. One such quality that is enshrined in the history of Islam of the distant past and the times near us is the quality of courage and bravery. Courage and bravery are qualities required of every Muslim, male or female. The Islamic meaning of these terms are summarized from what we read would be that courage and bravery means to stand up to defend the truth, even in the face of possible oppositions, and to call people to goodness and forbid evil and racing to do good deeds. It also means to be steadfast upon following the religion of Islam and being steadfast in fighting the enemies of Islam and the Muslims with the pen and the tongue, and doing all of this whilst expecting a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to be brave in Islam. I mean, and in this connection, we are going to consider various aspects of braveness or bravery according to Islamic teachings. Certainly, like other qualities and personal merits, we find that the quality of being a brave person is a relative. I mean, it's a relative according to the context, according to the situation, according to the person, and so on. Yet, it must be indicated that this braveness is indicated in some places in the Holy Quran, or there are some allusions to it in the Holy Quran. One of them is that it's indicated in the Holy Quran, "Inna Allah astafa alaykum wa zadahu bastatan fil ilmi wal jism." Regarding one of the divine prophets, it's indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has carefully chosen, that prophet, and "wa zadahu bastatan fil ilmi wal jism," and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him strength and braveness, so that he was qualified for undertaking that responsibility. At the same time, we find that elsewhere in the Holy Quran, it's indicated, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةً عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَزَّةً عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. All those people who have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall select someone who is very much dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time he is very austere and very severe regarding the unbelievers, regarding the opponents of Islam. And such a personality never fears the rebukes of those people who might reproach him in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
Forever in your hearts, in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Now let's look at different kinds of courage. One of them is physical courage. Physical courage involves proceeding despite fear of physical harm. You would exercise physical courage when entering situations where your body may be under threat. At times, you know you will be harmed, but you feel you have to proceed regardless because of a moral or social obligations to do so. You may also need to use your fine motor skills to protect yourself in these situations. For example, you may need to outrun a dangerous animal or face off with a strong and threatening bully. Now, tips to liberate yourself from fear. Brother and sister in faith, fear the Creator only. False security and despair are ways leading out of the folds of the community of Muslims. The right attitude for the people of the Qibla lies between the two. That is to say, a slave should remain between fear and hope, khawf and raja. For the right and the approved kind of fear is that which acts a barrier between the slave and the things forbidden by Allah. But if fear is excessive, then the possibility is that the man will fall into despair and pessimism. Be you not afraid of them, but fear me if you have faith. Holy Quran, chapter 3, verse 175. In a hadith, we read, a man sinned greatly against himself, and when death came to him, he charged his son, saying, "When I have died, burn me. Then crush me and scatter my ashes into the sea. for by Allah, if my Lord takes possession of me, he will punish me in a manner in which he has punished no one else. So they did that to him. Then he said to the earth, produce what you have taken. And there he was. And Allah said to him, what induced you to do what you did? He said, being afraid of you, O my Lord.
When we speak of courage, there are many different definitions we can give to courage. But the simplest definition that I can share with you is that courage is about being more concerned with what Allah wants rather than what people want. Courage is when you can make a decision based on this is what Allah expects, not what my father or mother expects, or what the community expects, or what my friends expect. This is what Allah expects. That is why we say, for example, for our sisters to wear hijab requires courage, because when you go out in public, you have to constantly be reminding yourselves that I'm concerned about what Allah wants and expects from me, not what people want and expect from me, not what dunya expects from me. And therefore, it always ends up being, what is it that is more inflated in my mind? Is it the esteem of people? What will people say? What will people think? All these people, once they step out, they really don't think about you anymore. And they're all going to die, and their bodies are going to rot in their graves, and they're going to decay, and on the day of judgment, there is no relationship between you and them. What remains is you and your Lord. When we stand and we are questioned as to how just we are, and how much courage we showed.
Dear brothers and sisters, what you had listened to was today's special from IRIB English Radio. That's all for today's episode. Inshallah, we'll meet you in another day, same time, same channel. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
Some might say this world today is sure. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, and he's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands, suffer so, give no help in hand, no help in hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you and I. In every tear that is where he is there. Every tear
Yuji is 11 months old and has become an internet sensation after a video of her snowboarding went viral in China. Wang Yuji is a daredevil infant snowboarder whose adorable face sticks out from underneath all of the protective snow and sports gear. Her parents decided to learn skiing during the winter, but they also wanted to include their baby in the fun of snow sports. While snowboarding might be a bit too early for a toddler who can barely stand or walk, Yuji wasn't scared at all and even enjoyed it. China, which is hosting the Winter Olympics in a couple of months, is encouraging citizens to try ice and snow sports. Every year, the roads across this tiny island in northwestern Australia turn scarlet just as millions of crabs leave their homes in the depths of the forest and start marching together all the way to the ocean where they can mate and spawn. The spectacular group voyage on Christmas Island happens after the first rainfall in October or November. And in order to give these red creatures the leeway, locals close off multiple roads across the island. They've even built a special bridge for the craft so that it can cross the road unharmed. The mesmerizing migration is now a tourist attraction, drawing nature lovers from around the globe.
Paleontologists in Brazil have discovered remains that could belong to a species of dinosaur as yet unknown. The fossils were found at a site in northeastern Brazil. A team of scientists is trying to put together the bones and complete the huge dinosaur's skeleton. They think it lived during the Cretaceous period, which began around 145 million years ago and ended with extinction of all dinosaurs roughly 66 million years ago.
A new study shows that moderate consumption of tea and coffee may be better for your health than previously thought. The study conducted by a Chinese medical university says tea and coffee can help keep stroke and dementia at bay. And if you're wondering what is meant by moderate consumption, it's defined as something between 2 and 5 cups of tea and coffee, either alone or combined in one day. The study followed more than 360,000 people aged 50 to 74 for over a decade. Some scientists have praised the study as robust. Others, however, say the participants were all selected from the UK Biobank, which means they're healthier than the general population. Pomegranate has a special place in Iranian culture. There is a trace of the fruit everywhere from poetry to cooking. Iranians even hold a pomegranate festival in the fall. This year the event is held in one of the main parks in the capital, Tehran. The festival features different varieties of pomegranates that are grown across Iran. The visitors can also find pomegranate products, including juices, concentrates, and dressings. The event includes cultural parades, music concerts, and traditional live performances. Iranians say they always welcome the pomegranate season, as it's one of the old symbols in the country's literature and art. The Christmas season always brings happiness and joy to people around the world. Many Parisians these days are taking a respite from their daily routines and hitting famous departmental stores now light up with present boxes. Cheerful families could be spotted at Christmas-decorated galleries, Lafayette and Printemps department stores. Automated figures and colorful window displays are the center of attractions for them and their children. It's a season when people buy Christmas gifts for their loved ones and stores make big profits this time around. Many Parisians say they want to take advantage of this period as the government is debating whether or not to impose a COVID-related lockdown. In Venezuela, a large number of musicians are striving for one common goal, and that's setting the Guinness record as the world's largest orchestra. Over 12,000 musicians, mostly children and adolescents, have played together to make that happen. Hundreds of violins, violas, and double basses playing in unison at this setting in Caracas. The musicians are all connected to the country's network of youth orchestras. For them to set a record, over 8,000 instruments had to play at the same time during a 5-minute period of a classical piece. Right now, a Russian orchestra that played the country's national anthem is holding the record. Once done, the crowd of musicians erupted in cheers, lifting their instruments and waving Venezuelan flags. Guinness will announce its decision in the next 10 days. Tourists and residents in Los Angeles have been mesmerized by a dazzling new event the U.S. city is hosting, with holiday-themed and full of colorful lights. Visitors can enjoy a mile-long walkway covered on all sides with brightly lit installations. Artists from around the world have taken part in the exhibition. The centerpiece display is a cathedral tunnel lit with thousands of bulbs. Another amazing attraction is the orbs, lit up with thousands of torches. The event has been a huge hit with the LA public.
Oh my gosh, it's so nice.
And it gets to be out in the open, and it's like a perfect night to do it, so it's great.
It's definitely the best. Like, we had to do, like, in a car to go see lights, and then we got to, like, now, like, go around and actually walk and get to see everything up close, which is super nice.
Yeah.
Definitely after the, year and a half that we've had.
Yeah.
So.
And it's really nice to see everything up close, because it's like, you see in a photo, but then it's more real and real, so.
Yeah.
The event opened to the public on the 12th of November and will run for 5 nights. Preparations for the event, however, started a month ago. The organizers say millions of bulbs and 17 miles of cables are used for the 18 art installations.
From a gray and gloomy look to a cheery and colorful appearance. That's the story of how a neighborhood in Peru's capital, Lima, is being transformed to become a tourist attraction. A group of artists in Lima are bringing color and joy to this hilly neighborhood by painting the walls of houses. Creating an optical illusion of a giant mural, the project is visible from different spots across the city. The designers are hoping what they did can improve the lives of residents in a neighborhood that was considered to be unsafe before.
What we are doing here is communal work with all the neighbors, and we are doing it because it's important to change the environment through the use of colors. This hill was considered an unsafe and dangerous area of the city, so we decided to change that social stigma through art, which for me as a muralist is the best tool to achieve it.
The project was started 5 months ago, and workers are now putting the final touches to their work of art. The mural covers over 300,000 square meters. It's the largest in South America.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The birth of a baby sloth at an uncharacteristically hasty speed has surprised London zookeepers. A tiny two-toed sloth named Terry was born to a mother, Marilyn, at the weekend. The zookeepers say there was no sign at all that Marilyn was going into labor when they checked her in the morning. However, less than an hour, they spotted something like a tiny arm tucked into her tummy. Marilyn had quietly delivered the baby with no fuss at all while her keepers were chopping up sweet potatoes for her breakfast. The mother and baby are said to be doing well, but the zookeepers still don't know the sex of the baby.
Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mesa X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one, assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great, I think, market impact from this showcase, we successfully performed a first case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A tigress belonging to the endangered Bengal species has given birth to 4 cubs at the Mexican Zoo, bringing joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts. The 4 were born in the San Jorge Park in the city of Ciudad Juarez on October 10th. Nearly a month on, they are in good health. And that is good news, because usually when multiple cubs are born, not all of them survive. Zoo officials have not yet determined the sex of the newborn cubs. That is because their mother lets out a roar when the vets are nearby. Bengal tigers are endangered for 2 reasons: poaching and the destruction of their natural habitat. Here's what you can call killing 2 birds with 1 stone. Classic car lovers have gone on an exciting rally to see an erupting volcano. The event, organized by Beshbuk Rallies, happened on a Saturday. Motorists taking part in the vintage rally had the unique opportunity to witness a volcano erupting ash and smoke. Most of the participants tried to get as close as they could to the volcano, but there were also those who chose to take other vehicles because they were afraid that their precious antique cars would be damaged.
Often it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know, because it's not every day we get to like do stuff like this, so yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers. Artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk, as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut like the Amazon or like the other Western Ghats, but here we're witness to the birth of forests as well. And that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.